You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And in our study of late, we have been looking at seeking to better understand the person of God, to be able to exercise and experience and enjoy God more intelligently. And we went through a little bit, anyway, of some of his attributes and how they are all together at all times, so that God, in whose presence we sit, all of his attributes, all of God being God who he is always all at once present. So every aspect of God, his holiness, his righteousness, his mercy, his grace, his judgment, his omniscience, his all-knowing, all-power, all-wisdom, everything about God is always present. We also were reminded, as we did that, that the God who in whose presence we sit is the same God that you read in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. So as you read your Bible and biblical history, it's outworking. You're reading all about God, you're always in his presence. If you're saved, you have a unique relationship to him. And you're reading about God who did all this, who said all this. And thus comes out of the pages. It's for real. We aren't talking about somewhere, sometime, in some distant past, thus and thus happened. So, having said that little bit, and seeking and always keeping in mind God is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable, one of his attributes. He cannot change. He doesn't become more God. He doesn't become less God. He is totally, perfectly God. And thus, in our seeking to know him and exercise a way to do this, a different way now to try to put that into practice for us, is to look at biblical history and see how God, who we understand is right now, how he did things. Because after all, the God who did things yesterday is the same God who does things today. God isn't any different. What he does and how he does it may be different, but God's the same. So, thus, we're going to look for to be able to have how others had good success in their journey through time. How are we benefited? How are we to benefit from that journey? So now, taking, looking at Jeremiah, we aren't going to cover every verse. That'll take at least 2 weeks, and I don't want to do that. I don't think. We may do it, but I won't mean to do it. It'll just happen. In getting a sense, Jeremiah lived in a day, as you'll see in a minute, very next to ours, just like ours in many ways. And Jeremiah lived in the religious community. He lived with Israel. So how did Jeremiah handle religious people? He had to live with them, his own family, friends, and priests and Levites. And he had to live. He had to answer to them and live with them and handle their practice and lack of practice. And Daniel, on the other hand, and Ezekiel are in Babylon. They're in the world. And Jeremiah's over here, and they're over here, and each of them are looking at the same world. One's in Jerusalem looking at it from a Jewish, worldly, religious, and the other's looking at it from a deeply, heavily invested, if that's a word, idolatry, the idolatry of Babylon and the world. So each one of them add and give us a different window. So now, in the light of that approach, and if you would, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, remember, started his ministry approximately in 627 B.C. Now, in his ministry, if you were to take time to read Jeremiah 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, it tells you about Jeremiah's conditions, the world he lived in, the politic, the government, etc. And the king of Judah, remember the Assyrian captivity has already taken place in 722, way back here. So now we've got Judah down in the south, and Jeremiah is ministering to Judah. And thus, and Jeremiah comes along, and Josiah is the king, which we'll take a look at, because that's relevant. And Josiah is the king, and about 22 years later, you're going to find Daniel is going to step forward, and he's going to go captivity over, and you're going to see Daniel. You don't see Daniel till you come over to Babylon, and you don't know him. He lives in Jerusalem. You have no idea about Daniel until he's taken captive, until he's brought to Babylon. And so we have that. And then about 12 years later, you're going to have Ezekiel. So you got 1, 2, 3, and then you got the kings and Nebuchadnezzar. Now, over if you would, just to get a little background, here is Jeremiah. It comes to the forefront. Jeremiah, as you'll see, is young when he starts his ministry, compared to being old. Like Daniel, he's young. And Josiah, when Jeremiah starts his ministry, is 21 years old. So you have a 21-year-old king, and Jeremiah starts his ministry. Now, over if you would please to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, if you would, please. And you would be mindful, just of reminding you and myself, that Manasseh is king in Judah. And then he's followed by Amon as king. So you have approximately 50-plus years of bad news. They're bad kings. You got 50-something years, all downhill. Josiah comes in to be the king after Amon. And he comes in to be king. And now he's only 8 years old when he starts as king. And thus he starts. And God is going to do a wonderful thing with Josiah. And Josiah is going to pick up. There's not much to pick up. The government has got so loused up. What are you going to do if you come in and you're a good king and you're going to fix the government that's had a long time being bad? Boy, that's hard to fix. It's not easy. People are conditioned. They're already conditioned for mood, manner. It's hard. Now, hang on. So here in 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah is king, as we share together. And in verse 11, Josiah now is awakened, and they find, if you would, the Bible, the Old Testament, the whole Bible. Is anyone interested in where the Bible is? No. Here's kings, priests, etc. Is anyone going to look? Does anyone want to read? Remember, they're supposed to read Deuteronomy every year, and they aren't. They've nothing. The Bible is found, and it is presented to Josiah If I can, in verse 11, chapter 22. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, and that is probably Deuteronomy, is the Old Testament, but Deuteronomy was to be read every year. So, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. So, no doubt, when they found the book, they would know, Deuteronomy 31, they have to read. You read the book every year to everybody. Get the whole book of Deuteronomy. Now, and he rent his clothes. He was deeply distressed of that they had not ever found the book, read the book, and he didn't know the book. He didn't know anything. Thus, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Anahikim, the son of Shaphan, and Akbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant to the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which with that which is written concerning us. Now, in the light of that, over to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. I'm going to judge Jerusalem and Judah. I'm going to do it. No questions, if, ands, or buts. Now, and thus, verse 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart, this is Josiah now, young, 21-year-old, and he says, Wow, boy, are we in trouble. We never read, we don't know anything. Verse 19, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hath sent and hath rent thy clothes, and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see the evil which I will bring upon this place. In other words, Josiah, it isn't going to happen when you are king. And they brought the king word again. So here's the king, given all this information, he's concerned about the curse in the light of people being disobedient, and thus he's going to try to do something. But, if you would, chapter 23, and in verse 26. Knowing God's mercy now, God's a merciful God. And Josiah is his heart is right. But God is going to still judge Israel, Judah. He's going to do it. Now, hang on to that. And verse 26 will help us again. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not, N-O-T, from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, 722, by the Assyrians, And I will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. I'm going to judge Judah, Benjamin, and Jerusalem, and the temple, and the city. I'm going to judge it all. All of it is to be judged. Except you, Josiah, are going to be able to have a break, and it won't happen during your time. Now, keeping in mind, if you would, over in 2 Kings chapter 23 and in verse 29, in Josiah's day now, Josiah was spared seeing Jerusalem ruin. But Josiah did what he shouldn't have done. And it's worth stopping to just catch him before we remove him. He dies. How does he die? Remember, chapter 23, verse 29. In the days of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and the king Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And the servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in a sepulcher. Now, in order to get that better, go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Remember, 1st, 2nd Kings, Samuel, are historical from a historian point of view. Chronicles are written from the priest point of view. Priests are reading. They're writing history from the temple, as it were. So that you're going to read stuff that you won't get with Kings, you'll pick it up in Chronicles. Now, so, in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, remember now, here is the Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt. He's going up, and here comes the Babylonian army over here, up here, Egypt, the Pharaoh's coming up the coast of Jerusalem, Palestine, coming up the coast, and over here is Josiah. Now, Josiah, he's going up. The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, is not going after Israel. They're going after because Assyria is out of business. Judged. So they're going up to take over the empire. To gain control of a bigger hunk of land. And here's Babylon coming over. So Egypt is up there and Babylon's coming over here. And they go into the Battle of Carchemish, which is 605. Anyway, you don't care. And 605, and here they come up there. Now, Josiah, he, lesson. Verse 20, 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish, by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. And now, he shouldn't have done that, because you'll see, God helps us, so we don't have to guess about it. Verse 21, but he sent ambassadors to him, saying, the king Pharaoh said to Josiah, go home, go back and have lunch. Let us go through, we're just passing through. But he sent messengers to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewithal I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. And came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at him because he was dressed like all the other military. And the archers shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away for I am sore wounded. And the king went away and died. Now, he had no business going to battle. It wasn't his battle. You go to battle when you need to. And he had no business. And God honored what Pharaoh was doing at the time for reasons, account of Babylon. And God honored that. And Josiah died. He meddled with God. He intruded where he shouldn't have. There's things you have to let go, things you can't fix. They don't belong in your quadrant. We use the illustration in all. The only one I know down here is the Red Dog still down here? The Red Dog Saloon. I'm not recommending it. It's down there. The Red Dog Saloon is down there. And they can do whatever they want. And I've never been in there. And apart from emergency, I wouldn't go in there. And they're in there, and it would be like saying tonight, we're going to pray all together, and we're all going to march down there and march around the building and tell them to get rid of all the stuff that may not be good. And we'd be out of place, totally out of place. And God wouldn't need to honor us at all. We could go do it and have whatever, but we'd be out of place. It's not our business. No, it's their business. And they have a right to do it. And they can do it. Josiah invaded business that wasn't his. And he paid for it. Now, having said that, back over, if you would, please, into Jeremiah chapter 1. So with that little bit of background, here is Jeremiah. And remember, Jeremiah is living with what? He's living in Judah, Jerusalem. And there's no hope that this is going to come out good. This is not good. They have a Josiah who will have a revival. He'll have a Passover in 622 B.C. The last one. That was, to remember the date, 622, is 722, 100 years ago, when the Assyrians emptied the 10 tribes in the north. So for 100 years, nothing. And so here he is, and he did everything to try to fix things and change things. He tried his best, but it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. And here's the politic, here's the government, here's the thing going. And Jeremiah has an assignment to warn them, to awaken them. Already knowing it's going to be a tough one. Because they've already set their heart like a stiff neck. And a hard forehead. And they've set their mark to go down. And God is going to judge them. He would give them space and grace if they would yield. But Jeremiah's assignment. So you understand, it isn't going to be a lovely little assignment, a great, wonderful thing that Jeremiah could play politics or anything. Not at all. So now, when we come to Jeremiah chapter 1, we have Jeremiah starts his ministry. And how does he start? Knowing the conditions. So Jeremiah chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So Jeremiah is going to tell you how he got. And Jeremiah didn't volunteer. Moses didn't volunteer. Jonah didn't volunteer. God chose them. But he didn't volunteer. God said, this way, and there you go. Now, so here in verse 5, Jeremiah said, listen, this is what I understand. Before I formed thee, said God, in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified or set thee apart. And I ordained thee, I have an assignment for you. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So you have an assignment. When you were born, I already had a wonderful plan for you, wonderful purpose. God, you did. You did. Before I was ever born, you already had one. Now, the God who had the plan for Jeremiah before he was born is the God who had the plan for you before you were ever born. All souls, Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine. The generation that is to be created, I'm going to create more and more, create the people, and when they're created, they all belong to me. They all belong to me. And I died for every one of them. When my son died, he died for all in Adam. So I want you to know, I have a personal interest in every person. No one comes into this world that I don't have a particular purpose for. And I'm the God who did that. I'm the God who's doing it right now. That's lesson number one. I got that. I got it. So it's very important. So we aren't just reading about something somewhere. No, God, you're looking at little old us. Uh-huh. Now, how did Jeremiah feel about that? Understanding, which you could feel the same way. In verse 6, Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the word child means, in the Hebrew, a newly born one. Newly born. Still being weaned. And it's you. What are you saying, Jeremiah? I'm as a little child. And another way to say it, it's going to be used of youth and other people. I'm inexperienced. I'm not able to handle what you're asking me. I can't possibly handle this. It's bigger than I am. I'm not old enough, understanding enough, able enough, like Solomon of old. I'm not able to do it. I'm a child. I have no experience. I have no responsibility. How can I be responsible for such a job? And besides Jeremiah chapter 1, if I may, in verse 8, be not afraid of their faces. And he's afraid. He's afraid. And you can understand why he's afraid. He isn't going on a defense. He's going on the offense. He's going to go against the system. He's going to speak against them. Priests, kings, people. He's going to go against the whole works. And wow. He said, I'm not able for that. God. And he's afraid. Now, God, here we are, and you have a wonderful plan for our lives. And here's Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah said, I'm unable to take on the wonderful plan you have for my life, to fulfill the assignment of being a human on planet Earth. And any one of us could say that. Oh, I'm going to live what I do and work while I work and play what I play and everything. But to enter in and want God's will and God's way for God's honor and God's glory, to walk and live like that in a wonderful way, God, I'm not able for that. And besides, the whole religious system around me is not happy with that. They don't mind me going to church. They do mind me having that kind of a life. And so God, I can't do that. And the government and all the rest, they're coming down on people like me if I want to live like that. Just like the government came down on our Lord and the Roman government, Pontius Pilate, etc. They crucified him. Not only did the religious world, the political world crucified him. But the Lord kept going. So God, the Lord, our perfect example, helps us. So here's Jeremiah, God. How did you help that guy? And he's one of the most prestigious prophets of the Old Testament. He stands, if not, at the highest. When you put together everything, no one went through what he did. No one reacted like he did. If you want to know what a prophet was, Jeremiah would be the man to see what a prophet is. Now, so here, God, how did you answer? How did you help Jeremiah? Here you are, God. You help him. How do you help him help us? Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Don't say that. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. See, and I'm not able to communicate. I don't know how to do that. And by the way, don't be afraid of their faces. Why not? For I am with thee to deliver thee, thus saith the Lord. So here you are. There's great trouble. The trouble isn't going away. More and more trouble. And it's in the world system. Here we are in the world system. And we're looking at a little spot. But here is Jerusalem, and here is Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is living among the Jews that are living then in Jerusalem, etc. And here's the world, and here's Babylon, here's the defeated Assyrian Empire, here's the Egypt coming up, here they all coming together. God, there's so many things going on. Uh-huh, there are. It's a big picture. So when you're looking, Jeremiah, and when I'm looking, said God, when I'm looking, I want you to know that I see differently than you do. I have all those pieces. And you see, it isn't just you, Jeremiah, in your little hut, etc. It's Jeremiah in the middle of a global situation. And I am dealing with the whole universe at once. And therefore, you must go with me and understand, when I tell you something, I have the big picture in mind. What I'm going to do with your life involves the big picture, not a little picture. So you can't just say, this is my little life, my family, and etc. No, it's more than that. Big picture, and therefore all that God you're going to do in one little life involves many, many aspects of it. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and it needs to be, because God, you're dealing with everything in the fullest way, and you're going to outwork history, which is your story. You're outworking your own story, God. As we turn the pages, you're outworking it. That's right. That's right. You're on page 25, and I'm going to remove you at page 27, and we're going to go to page 28. So we're going down the corridor. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, then just keep, if you would, just for your own memory at the moment, do you remember, you do, Philippians 2:12, just the last part, God says what? Work out your what? Own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. You can't work out anyone else's. Can't. God works out each one. You work out yours. That's all. Now you work out yours. And verse 13, chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh what? In you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you have to understand it's a personal thing, but it's a very public thing. You have to keep that in mind. Personal, very public. And you always want to think like that. Otherwise your world gets narrowed down like this. And you don't understand why me. There's so many other pieces out here that you and I have not the foggiest about. But God has them. And that's how it's going. And that's the God who did Jeremiah. And that's the God who's dealing with us and our own country, etc. Now, and thus, in communicating, God is going to help Jeremiah to communicate, and he's going to communicate clearly. And remember, all the I's chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee. Verse 6, I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, I am a child. And thus Jeremiah is saying, I am this, and God said, I am going to do this. So Jeremiah lines up his excuses, and God has his eye to take over the little eye of Jeremiah. Remember Moses? Moses said, I can't. Actually, Moses was very eloquent. He was trained to be Pharaoh. If anyone could speak, Moses could speak, and he did. But he used it. He said, I'm not able, and he drew back because he lost his confidence. Jeremiah is humbled, and he's dependent. And the fear that he has, isn't taking him away from God. It's bringing him to God. Remember, fear is the same word. Fear. And it's either going to draw you to God or away from God. And it's used both ways. They feared God and went another way. Or they feared God and they drew near. And remember, we shared that. You know all those things. One of the things you do, if you're going to go and you have a little kid or whatever, and they're going to, and you got a big paddle. You got a big paddle, and you're going to go and whomp him, right? You're going to go get him. Now, you know if he runs, he's in trouble, right? And he knows that. So if he runs, I'm going to catch him. I got him cornered. Now, the little kid is smart. So he runs right at you and grabs your leg, hugs your leg. I want you to know your paddle becomes a little less potent, doesn't it? Because you ran in the right direction. Now, Jeremiah is running into God, to God, and that's how he's working. So now, having said that, would you please note his assignment is an awesome assignment. And picking up, if I can, he's going to go in verse 10. I have this day sent thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. In fact, you're going to have a great construction job, but there's going to be a lot of destruction before there's a construction. Moreover, God, you're going to tell me what your assignment is. I am. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? What are you seeing? And Jeremiah said, I am seeing, participle, I am seeing a rod of an almond tree. And the little word rod is a leafy branch, a leafy root, a shoot. Here's the almond tree, and there's a little shoot coming out of it, a growth coming out of the tree. I see a shoot, a leafy branch coming out of the almond tree. And the almond tree, interestingly, as you probably know, the word almond means awake. Wakefulness, the wakeful tree. Because in January, it's the first of all the fruits, trees, it's the first one to start. First one to start, and in March, it's the first one to have fruit. It's the early riser. It's the beginning, church, the almond tree. And so Jeremiah said, you see the branch? He said, I see the branch. I see the early riser on the coming off the tree, almond tree. I see that. So it means what? It means things are coming. But right now, this is the first sign, something's coming. And you'll note in verse 12, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, you have seen well. You saw and you have described well what you see. Now God said, I'm going to help you understand what you see. I will hasten. The word hasten is the word watchful. Wakeful. It's a play on words. The almond tree, the branch in the almond tree, tells you the tree's waking up. I'm telling you, hasten, my word. Hasten is awakening. My word is awakened, and I'm going to act. And thus, my word, to perform it, I'm going to exercise my word. And to take the play on words and to say it in a way that you won't catch it anyway, Jeremiah says, I see the rod of an early awake. And God said, I am easily awake in respect to my word to perform it. I am ready to perform my word now. I'm ready to do it. And do what? Next illustration, verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? What are you seeing? And Jeremiah again is paying attention. And I said, I see a seething, the word seething, boiling. It actually isn't the word boiling, it's blowing, breathing. Just think of a fire, a pot, you have the pot, and then there's a fire under the pot. I'll use my Christian picture. A fire under the pot. You're blowing the fire to make it real hot. It's being blown upon to get very hot. It's boiling. And the pot that's boiling and the fire is not going away. It's getting very hot. The pitcher, the pot is boiling and it is tilted from the north to the south. And what is in the pot, that boiling mess, is going to boil and roll all over the southern part of the land, Judah, Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come out of the north, and he's going to be as a boiling pot, and he's going to come in fury, and he's going to come down after Egypt. He beats Egypt, and now he's coming down for Jerusalem, and he's coming down, and that's when Daniel is taken captive. And down he's coming, and the pot is bent. Jeremiah, you are to go to the people of Israel and tell them Nebuchadnezzar is on his way. I gave them warning. I give you the assignment to give him the last warning. They could awake to it if they wish, but they may not. And know and behold, here comes Nebuchadnezzar. We thought we were going to get out of it. Jeremiah, all of his wonderful reforms and everything, trying to fix the government, the people, their religious mood and movement, they couldn't fix it. God spared Josiah in one sense. And here comes judgment. Jeremiah, that is your assignment. Young man, that's your assignment. And thus, if I can, and verse 15, I'll read verse 14 so I don't go too far. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon thee and all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families, the clans of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, Babylon being one of them. The leader. And they shall come, and they shall set every one on his throne at the entering in of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof, around about, and against all the cities of Judah. Everything is going to be, with all their protection and all their security, it won't be anywhere near enough. Nebuchadnezzar is going to, like a boiling dam breaking, coming all over them. Thus, I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, for who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed. The word dismayed, remember, don't be, get in the place where you're ashamed. You get ashamed. You don't want to get in that place where you're timid. You back off. Don't back. Don't do that. You're going to communicate. And in the process, you're going to do so. And remembering in all of that, that the city to be strong, I should say. Let me go back up to verse. I was trying to move too fast. Up in verse 16, we're going to go and, well, no, down to verse 17 for time. Verse 17, I will be not dismayed, that is, be overthrown, to be ashamed, to be disgraced, to be alarmed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled about the trouble. Don't be troubled about the trouble. Tribulation coming. Don't be troubled about the trouble. Don't be. It's coming. It's coming. That's right. It ain't going to go away. It ain't going to stop. We'd like it to stop. We'd like it to fix some things. And perhaps there might be. But we have no... What we know for solid, for sure, is it isn't going to be. It's going to be like God said. And so therefore, don't be dismayed at their faces, lest, the end of verse 17, I confound, the word confound is the same word as the word dismayed. Don't. If you are dismayed, ashamed of them, they will all be ashamed of you. If you tremble at them, if you don't do right, you're gonna tremble at all of them. You're gonna be ashamed and disgraced instead of them. So don't you do it. Don't you do it. I'm gonna reverse it. If you go, just like Ezekiel, if you don't do what you're supposed to, I'm gonna let it come right back on you. Just like with Deuteronomy 28 and 15 and thereafter. All of the wonderful curses, and they are awesome, wonderful. All of those curses will be in the other. If you don't do right, the curses will be on you. They'll come on you. So take your pick. Because my name is on the line. My name is on the line in this. It isn't some little thing you can walk away from. My name is on the top of this thing, what I'm doing. Now, so having said that, lest I confound thee or dismay, be dismayed, you'll be dismayed, ashamed before them. Verse 18, behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, an iron pillar and brazen walls. The whole land can be against you, the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people thereof. In fact, everyone, everywhere can be against you. So what? So what? You before me. If I before you, what? Romans 8. Who can be against you? You better make sure you're on my side. When all the things are lined up, make sure you're on my side. Because you're going to win. So make sure of that. Now, having said that, I make you a fortified city, city protected, wonderful city. Now, what do you know? Very quickly, what do you know? If you know there's no temptation taking you, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there's no temptation you but such as what? It's common to man. God, you mean all the things that can come in my little life and yours can come against me. That's right. But there'll never be anything you can't handle. If I let it come, you're going to look to me and you're going to handle it. Now, if you leave me out of it, you're in trouble. But if you look to me, you'll be a fortified city. If the whole world is against you, you're going to win. No. Yeah, you're going to win. And an iron pillar, an iron column, iron. Iron, strong, iron. An iron pillar, you know, when they hit the iron pillar, iron is iron. It's awful hard, awful firm, awful strong. I'll make you an iron pillar. And everything they try to do, they're going to be like hitting iron. Not only that, I'm going to make your walls, plural, W-A-L-S, walls. walls, one after another. I'm going to make them of brass, bronze, and they're going to try to get through them. They aren't going to get through them. They aren't going to get the iron pillar. You got a fortified city. Do you understand? I'm able to be more than enough to protect you against everyone, everything, everywhere, anyhow. I'm able to do it. Now, either you're going to trust me or you're not. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. But I'm a dependent. I'm dependent. I realize, God, I can't, but you could. You could. You did it with Isaiah. You did it. Elijah. Now, so, here we are, in verse 18. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee. That's what they're going to do. It isn't a choice. They're going to go after you. That's what they're going to do. Your own city, your own family is going to go after you. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why not? For I am with thee, and saith the Lord, and I will deliver thee. I am with thee. I am able to go and give you the walls, to give you the endurance, to give you the strength, to give you the stamina, to give you the protection. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who are you? I'm the God who said that to Jeremiah. I'm the God who took care of Jeremiah. And remember in Jeremiah's wonderful journey, going from Nebuchadnezzar and all of that, God kept him all the way to the end, wonderfully to the end. Now, God, here we are looking, and I am with thee, saith the Lord, and I will deliver thee. I'm able to do it. I have a wonderful plan for your life. My person, my purpose, personal purpose. I know everything. I understand everything. I have all the pieces. I'm all wise, all knowing. I want you to know, I know what's going to happen before it happens, obviously. And I have the authority and power to handle everything as it's going to happen. And thus, you're going to have my will in my way. You're going to know my love, which is the very best. I want the best for you. After all, it's my plan. I don't have crummy plans. All my plans are good. All my purposes are good. I don't have. So if you're going to sit there and say, what's the plan for me? Whatever it is, it's good. It can only be good. So whatever you're sitting there with, what's the plan? Look at my life. Well, look at it. Where is God in it? That's the question. Where is God? Are you looking? Jeremiah had to look to God to survive a very difficult life in a very difficult time. You and I are living in times that are not easy. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Don't be troubled. The world will seek to give you peace, but don't you get peace like I have. You don't want peace like the world. My peace I give unto you, not like the world. And I want you to know, by the way, I want you to know that don't you get all upset with all these different things. John 16, don't get upset. I want you to go and look to me and understand that I am able to do exceeding abundant above all that you ask or think. And I'm able to go, and you are able to overcome the world, the pressure, the tribulation that you have, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I have overcome the world, John 16:33, already. So you're either going to trust me, and you're going to understand how it works, or you're not. But I'm the same God who took care of Jeremiah. I'm the same God who allowed Nebuchadnezzar to ruin Jerusalem. I'm the same God that has kept Israel. I'm the same God keeping Israel. I'm your God. Am I? And you learn that. Wonderful thing. God. So you don't sit, I'm nobody? No, no one's anybody. Who's anybody anyway? It becomes funny after a while, you know. We all think we're somebody. When you stand back and look, what to do is go to the graveyard and look at all the somebodies And especially go to graveyards where all the stones are flat. So you don't see any big monuments. They're all flat. And you look at the graveyard and say, wow, wow. And I don't see anyone standing up or standing out. Do you? They're all grass level. And that's where all of them are. And God said, don't you, you know all those things. You know God said. Why would you go and trust, Isaiah chapter 2, why would you go and trust somebody that breathes? You know how stupid that is to trust a breather? A breather. Their breath is only there. And the next minute, their breath is all gone and you've got nobody anymore. You need to trust me, said God. You see? We didn't get very far, did we? I would have applied it more, but time is gone. You got a little bit, did you? You see, it wonderful thing. Relevant, too. Relevant. In case we ever live, the Lord tarries coming up, it'll be very relevant, to say the least. Now, so we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And